Welcome to In the News for March 22nd, 2024. I am Brett Burney from appsandlaw.com.
And this is Jeff Richardson from iPhone JD. Hey, Brett.
Hello, Jeff. You wrote about a month ago, maybe almost a month ago, about Apple's fiscal first quarter reports. And one of the things at the very bottom, I just looked back at your post here. You talked about Apple executives addressing AI. And at the time, I think you said something like, well, we don't know. And, you know, Tim Cook was saying something like, well, we'll look at that in the future. Maybe something will happen. I know we talked about this a little bit even, but boy, this past week, some very interesting news came up about Apple's involvement in AI.
That's right. Ever since then, Tim Cook announced that at the conference that there would be something AI related coming out later this year. And of course, as we discussed before, it's so rare for them to make a prediction of what they're going to do in the future.
Right.
They usually just look back at the prior fiscal quarter. You know, everyone's like, you know, if Apple's going to go out of its way to say something is coming, we want to know what's coming. And so since then, a lot of reporters have been trying to figure it out. You know, what's Apple going to announce? You know, my guess is that this summer, it's going to probably be in iOS 18, which comes out this fall. Presumably, and that Apple will preview some of it this summer at its conference, the WWDC conference. But in the meantime, some reporters, and of course, one of the big one was Mark Gurman from Bloomberg, who always seems to do a good job of covering the Apple beat. You know, what he was hearing is that Apple is talking. This is all very, you know, tentative, but in talks with both Google, who has the Gemini AI, and then also with the OpenAI folks, the ChatGPT folks. And the idea is, at least, and this is all just speculation, but I actually think it makes good sense. On the one hand, Apple likes to do things on device. You know, when they do Face ID, when they do these other things, they have special chips on the device. And so it's good for privacy. It means that none of your confidential information is going up to the cloud. And so your data is on device, and Apple likes to do things. And so a lot of people have thought that what Apple is going to do is come up with some artificial intelligence stuff that works on device. And consistent with that, by the way, it was just this week or last week in one of these journals that's for people that are in the, you know, deep into the AI field, people that work for Apple published a journal article on AI.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was way above my mental intellect in terms of what they were describing. But the quick takeaway of it, it was just talking how different people come up with their own generative AI engine, and Apple had come up with one that they described in a lot of detail in this article that can run locally. And they apparently it's not as powerful as something like ChatGPT, of course, but it's fast, it's local, it's private, it can do a lot, you can have ongoing conversations with it. You know, wouldn't it be nice if you could pick up your iPhone and while you're looking at a picture and say, you know, could you turn this sideways? Could you make it dark? You know, just to have a conversation with it. You know, can you make this a little bit brighter? Oh, no, that's too much. Can you tone it down a little bit?
Right.
You know, and using your voice and having a conversation as opposed to having fiddly controls that you don't even know where all the buttons are, you know, that could be pretty cool. And so that's one aspect that I'm sure Apple announces, some sort of on-device AI. But what the speculation from Bloomberg is that Apple also will have some other AI things that will be more sophisticated and that will require, you know, computers in the cloud, networks of computers that are super complicated. And, you know, Apple doesn't currently have that, but Google does. And so Apple could just form a deal with Google, much like right now, if you want to search in Safari, Apple turns that over to, by default, Google to run a Google search of the internet.
That
happens on Google servers, and then you get the result. And it happens so quickly, we may kid ourselves and say, I'm running this search on my iPhone. But the reality is you're not running the search on your iPhone. Your iPhone goes out to the cloud, Google gets a result and sends it back to you all within a fraction of a second. What if the same thing happened for AI? That would be really interesting. And so if Apple's talking to Google, and also apparently they're also talking to OpenAI, the issue, however, is that OpenAI, which is, you know, a big Microsoft investment, they don't have, at least the rumor is that they don't have the infrastructure, the servers. I mean, Google is just so heavily invested in this.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if they would be able to support the millions of iPhones that are out there, but Google apparently can. So it makes sense to me. So even though this is just a rumor and speculation, I would not be surprised if Apple does do something like this. And, you know, I don't think that we'll see the Google logo. I think it'll probably be like an Apple front end. But behind the scenes, I could totally see some stuff being done by Google. And I mean, to get to the end of it, you know, wouldn't it be cool if just like, you know, on device, you could ask for things like touching up my photos, and then you can ask more sophisticated things and use the servers to help you. It's a really neat idea, and I think it's everybody seems to say that AI is going to change everything in technology. It's already started, and I think this could be a big part of it.
Do you think, Jeff, that even if they do partner with somebody like Google, that Apple would eventually, or maybe in the background, continue to evolve their own technology and then eventually use their own technology? Because all I
It's a
could think
question,
of when I was looking at this was Google Maps. We all
right?
remember when the iPhone first came out that they partnered with Google, and it was only Google Maps you could get on the iPhone. And then all of a sudden, Apple announced that they're doing their own maps. Wasn't quite as good, but it's continued to get better all of these years. And I feel like, what if I was Google, I'd be like, you know what, you burned us on the map thing. I don't know if we're going to do the AI, but I was just
They
wondering
could
that.
go. I mean, they could go that direction, like Google Maps, and like, once they learn how it works, do it themselves,
Right,
like Apple
exactly.
Maps. But on the other hand, the very first iPhone had a YouTube app on it, and that continues to be, I mean, not default,
That is
but
true.
people
That's
still
true,
use YouTube
right?
for all of their searches. People still use Google for all their web searches. There have been rumors that over the past, 20 years, Apple has considered doing its own search, just like Google, much like Microsoft did with Bing, right?
Right.
But
Yes,
much like
exactly.
Microsoft and
Yep.
Bing have just never quite gotten there. I suspect that Apple's decided, you know what? Google's really the expert in this area. So, it would not surprise me if the way that I just sort of laid it out is how it works. Apple becomes the
Yeah,
expert on device AI. Google is the
right.
expert on cloud AI. Now, maybe over the years, as the power of, as our handheld devices get even more and more powerful, the on-device stuff might, increase even more, right? And maybe the
Sure,
off-device
sure.
stuff will decrease. But I don't know. I mean, and it'll be interesting to see how much Apple even reveals about this. I mean, Apple, they like to just sort of present everything, in the clean terms that they come up with their special Apple word for it. They may not even reveal
Right.
what's being done by them and what's being done by someone like Google. That might be the sort
Yep.
of thing that only after the fact do reporters, ask the follow-up questions and figure out what's going on. But I
Yep.
do hope that there's something to these rumors because this excites me. I mean, this would be the example of
Indeed,
how
yes.
Apple could come up with something not in 5 years, but this year that really starts to make a
Exactly,
difference just
right.
by working with people like Google that have been at the, I mean, Google has been at the forefront of generative AI for so long now. And I think I would love to see this partnership.
Well, if it was up to the U.S. Department of Justice, though, they might be putting some brakes on some of this stuff with that. This just broke yesterday, I think, that all of a sudden, I mean, I can see both sides where this was unexpected. At least I didn't think it was going to happen. But some people have said, of course, this has been brewing for a while. But the United States Department of Justice filed a pretty big suit against Apple. In fact, it was joined by what, 15 states here, which I'm not even really sure still. I'm trying to parse it out exactly what it is that they are claiming. But I guess it really comes down to whether or not Apple is playing fair or if they're a monopoly. I don't know. I know that this is still breaking and we're trying to understand the complaint, the initial complaint that just came out. But I don't know. It just doesn't look good and it looks a little, I don't know. It's like, really? Like, do we need to go through this? I guess it's my reaction, at least so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's all new. I have not read the complaint yet. It was filed in federal court in New Jersey. Neither you nor I are antitrust attorneys, so let's just say that up front.
Right.
But
Yes.
so I only know a tiny bit about this. My very little knowledge is that I believe that in order to file an antitrust lawsuit, you need to allege that the defendant is a monopoly. And I
Right.
understand back in the 1990s when the Department of Justice brought us arguably somewhat similar lawsuit against Microsoft, Microsoft really
Yes,
was much more of a
exactly.
monopoly. They had Apple was such a tiny portion of the market. Microsoft really was the dominant player. And the current smartphone market, Apple has what, maybe 60% US market share. I don't know if that necessarily makes it a monopoly. I mean, they have the majority. They certainly get a lot of the money, and I know that the justice. So, I mean,
Right.
I have questions about this lawsuit. There are certainly parts of it that make sense. I mean, there's no question that Apple has aggressively done what it can to be the best, and sometimes being
Sure.
the best means taking advantage of what's there. And did they go too far? First of all, do the monopoly rules even apply to them? And even if they do, did they go too far? Maybe yes in some places, maybe no in other places. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. Like, for example, the article that you're showing right now from Jason
Yeah,
Snell at Six Colors,
right.
he's not an attorney either, but he does an analysis. He points out something
Right.
that I didn't even realize that was in the lawsuit, that apparently the only, you know, if someone sends a text message to your iPhone, the text message can be used by the Messages app, but apparently it can't be used by third-party messaging app. I actually did not even know that. And so I
Oh.
guess that's an example of how Apple is doing something for themselves that they're not doing for others. I don't
I
know,
kind
you
of
know, and
like
then
that though. I appreciate that. Like I look at that as a feature almost then,
yeah, so
but
but I
I
mean
can
maybe
see where others can argue differently.
if you're selling the WhatsApp app, or for example, something like that,
Right.
and you want to say, you know, much we want to be your one and only messaging solution for both text messages and for WhatsApp messages. So I mean that's an example of, and I can see the argument that Apple is helping their own app versus others. But then there's other examples that go the other way as well. So I mean the thing is, you know, a
Yeah.
lot big lawsuits like this are just as political as anything else, and it'll be really curious to see how the courts handle it over the years. You know, I think that a lot of the reason that a lot of people use Apple stuff is just because they like Apple stuff, because the iPhone is a better, you know, quality in many ways than Android. So I think it's a lot of personal preference. But we'll see. We'll see.
And it works. And I feel like, you know, we've talked about this so many times. Like, it's just a little bit of a trust factor that goes into that. I do. This is a great article by Jason. It's probably the best that I've seen without having to read through it. And he has many disclaimers in here that he is not a lawyer, but he even just says, he goes, it accuses Apple of attempting to create a monopoly through its various business tactics. And one of the other things that he does mention in here is that Apple has reduced competition by making it hard for developers to deploy cross-platform software. So some of this, I'm just wondering, you already kind of alluded to it, that maybe a little bit of political fallout, you know, from the whole Epic v. Apple thing, you know, when some developers have accused Apple of, you know, with the whole thing about taking the 30% cut, you know, that type of a thing from the App Store. I'm not really sure. Again, we'll probably talk about this a little bit more in the days to come, or maybe this will just fizzle out, right? And there'll be a
I
small
doubt
army
that.
of Apple lawyers that will just kind of, you know, continue to take this for several years, and we'll see. There's another link here from Jace by John Gruber at Daring Fireball, where he links to Jason's. I don't know if he's got any additional little
He does. Yeah, he has
points
some
in here.
additional
Okay.
analysis in there
Okay.
too about things, you know, pointing out, for example, that when Apple recently came out with its journal app, that was an, you know, that's Apple's own journal app. And of course, there are third-party journaling apps. But one of the things that Apple did is the new APIs that they came out with, they made it
Right.
completely available to anyone. So Apple's built-in journal app can use
Oh,
those APIs,
interesting.
but so can any
Yeah.
third parties. And so you could argue that that would be a way of Apple making the platform more equal for everybody. And you could, you know, are they doing that out of the kindness of their heart? Are they doing that to be nice to users? Or are they
Yeah.
doing it because of the threat of things like this? You know, two other things that might be worth mentioning that the DOJ apparently points out in this lawsuit is that, first of all, we don't have a lot of what the DOJ calls super apps on the iPhone. And there's really only one good example of that, which is the WeChat app. I know that if you're in China and some
Oh,
other
yeah.
countries in that parts of the world, you know, you do everything through WeChat. You chat, you
Everything,
pay for things. I mean, it's like your one and only
right.
app. And Apple doesn't really have that. And then another thing that Apple has in the past made it difficult is to have pure streaming games. You know, we're getting fast enough internet connections that you, instead of downloading a game from the App Store,
Right.
you could really play a game online on a computer. I know a lot of people do that on physical computers. Apple
Sure.
limits how much you can do that on an iPhone or an iPad. The iPhone's really the focus of this complaint. And so the question is Apple, you know, being quote unquote anti-competitive in limiting how game developers can do a streaming app, which
Right.
then the developer could make the app once and have it work theoretically on every platform, versus coming out with apps that are approved by Apple and that Apple gets a 30%, you know, take on and everything else. So I don't know. I mean, it definitely raises some interesting issues, and it's gonna be the subject of all sorts of thoughtful analysis for years to come. And we'll see at the end of the day what end up happening from all of it. So it'll be interesting to watch.
We talk a lot about Apple, but we don't mention Nvidia. Another company in the technology space. And the only reason I'm bringing them up is to have an Apple bent to it. But this one I thought was a fun story. Nvidia actually did have their conference. I think they were talking about some of the new hardware. And I did see a few headlines of a new processor, chip processor. which looks pretty incredible. And a lot of times, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, some of the NVIDIA graphics chips are actually what powers so much today of some of this large language model and some of the AI technologies. But this was a great who this was a Harry McCracken, of course, where he was somehow, well, maybe you can explain a little bit. He was using the Apple Vision Pro at the NVIDIA conference to get all in and out and around a Nissan Z sports coupe, which is really pretty interesting here.
NVIDIA has done some incredible things. I mean, their processors are so sophisticated. And like you say, Brett, it may have started out as being for graphics professionals, but those processors are really what's behind so much of the AI stuff nowadays that NVIDIA, I mean, I don't whether NVIDIA got there by design or by accident, they are thrilled to see AI be such a big thing because it's fantastic for that company. But one of the things that they can do with these powerful processors is you need it if you're going to have something incredibly sophisticated like this virtual model of a car. So this is Nissan showing out one of their upcoming sports cars where to see it, you put on an Apple Vision Pro, and within there you can like go into the car and go around it. But the graphics and the computation that's required, I mean, this is really, really sophisticated stuff that could not occur on the actual device itself. It would have to be an external device. And so the idea is that it's an external NVIDIA server, which is then serving up the graphics to the headset, and you're seeing it. And this it's just as Harry McCracken describes it, it's incredibly lifelike and realistic and would
Yeah,
not
he
be
was really going
possible.
on.
Yeah, it would not be possible without just this incredible backend from NVIDIA. So this is an interesting example of something that I would love to see this in the future. In fact, this is relates to the streaming video games we were just talking about. If a company could have, whether it's like NVIDIA or some other servers, and if your internet connection is fast enough, you could be wearing the Apple Vision Pro and you could be connected to the server for, the car company or the whatever company, and you could just be streaming and downloading as all the computations are being done on the NVIDIA servers as you look around and up and down and left and right and in and out. And whether it's for medical devices or looking at the newest car or looking at some product equipment or, anything like that. I've mentioned this before. One of my favorite parts of using the Apple Vision Pro are the few times when you are in an environment that's completely immersive, where it's not just that you have a big movie screen in front of you, but you look up, you look down, you look around you, and everywhere you look, it's as if you
It's
were
all
there.
around.
Those are the things that are truly transformative, and I've never used anything like that before in my life. They're really incredible. So it's fun to see that NVIDIA is coming up with some ways to power these types of experiences.
The Apple Vision Pro has been around for a little over a month, almost a month and a half, and I continue to enjoy some of these stories. You link to another one here. This one is well from Benedict Evans. Is this his own? Yeah, this is his own blog here. A month of the Vision Pro. Even though I enjoy reading these, Jeff, I don't know if there's anything brand new in most of them. I think most everybody is saying a lot of the same kind of things. Anything that jumped out at you from
Yeah,
Benedict
there
Evans
were.
here, and yeah, and using the Vision Pro.
There were he had a couple observations that I thought were interesting. I guess maybe they relate to things that you and I have talked about before, but he mentioned how this was one of these rare examples of Apple coming up with the technology and releasing it when it's still the early stages. We all hear about these examples of how, like, when they were developing the iPhone, they would have something. And this is, I'm sure, true for any type of electronics product. You might have something that it looks like an iPhone in your hand, but in the development stage, it would have a big cord and it would be connected to some computer, which, of course, in the, you would never ship the final product like that, but it's the only way that it works for development. And he says that to a certain degree, the Apple Vision Pro is a little like that. I mean, you do literally have the cord connected to the battery,
I see
and
that.
it's heavier than Apple probably would have wanted, but he's like, it's a rare opportunity where we are seeing technology that some companies may have said, hey, we need to wait 2 or 3 years until we can make this thing lighter and smaller before they sell it. But Apple this time has decided to say, let's sell it now. It's going to be far more expensive than we want it to be. And it's going to be much more clunky, but let's just get it out there so people can start to experience and push the platform. And so he gives Apple some credit for that, which I think is interesting. And then another interesting comparison that he drew in here is he said that, this is one of these technologies of the moment. And he's wondering, is it going to remain fascinating and interesting to people, which I believe is the case, or is he draws comparisons to there was a time when everybody wanted to get a drone or everybody wanted to get a 3D printer, and you would get one and you would use it for a
Yes,
couple
that's
of weeks.
right.
And then it just
Right.
sits in your closet and you don't ever use it again. And are people buying Vision Pros and then after a month they're just sitting in a closet and they're not touching them? That's certainly not the case for me, but I certainly can't speak for the market. And it will be interesting
Sure.
to see which it is. Because I mean, we all know what that's like, how it's like it's the it product, it's expensive, everybody's talking about it, and then we move on to the next great thing. So that'd be interesting. But anyway, I
Even
just thought it was
closer to
some
home,
insightful thoughts.
I feel like so many people that I've talked to that bought one of the Oculus, twos or the Meta Quest or whatever they were, that they raved about it for about a month. And then maybe, then after that, maybe they would use it once a month and then they weren't talking about it again. I mean, I've just known several people that are exactly like that, Jeff, that it didn't seem compelling enough. And I certainly have seen a much different approach, just even from that, from like a very bigger picture, even from a productivity standpoint, the work. I mean, I've never really kind of thought of the Oculus as something that people would use, from a work standpoint. So anyway, good thoughts on that. And if the $3,500 price tag wasn't enough for you, you wanted to spend a little bit more. I'm glad that you linked to this today, Jeff. The company is called Caviar. They are making an 18 karat gold Apple Vision Pro. And did they have the price tag on here?
Starts at
40,000.
40,000.
Yeah, starts at 40,000. So just a few additional bling. This is really blinged out here, man. They Wow. Like they've really did they put like an extra cover on here?
They
18
did.
karat gold Vision Pro. So I hope that you already put your pre-order in. There's only going to be a few, Jeff, so you've got to get there quick.
That is true. They say what they're making 24 of them next year, and that's it. I almost hesitate to link to Caviar because the company's been around for a while. They will sell you 24
I
karat,
love
18
it.
karat gold versions, everything. You can buy iPhones that are $10,000. You can buy AirPods that are really good. I laugh at them, but I really do realize that there are some people that actually buy these things. Obviously, the
They
company still
will,
has a business.
right.
Maybe you don't have to be, sell that many of them to actually to make money. But they are certainly funny. It's funny to see what somebody who says money is no object
Right. Boom.
gold, there's never enough of not to, anyone who thinks not enough gold, there can always be more gold. So if that's
There.
you, if you have more money than sense and you believe that more gold is always a good idea under any circumstance, then Caviar is the company for you, and boy, do they have it.
They will sell every single one of these. I mean, just to be able to say that you have one of the 24. I
That's
feel like
true.
this is kind of like the Hermes watch band, or the blinged out version of that. Oh, good stuff. Okay, well, I'm not gonna end up with one of those, but I will tell you an Apple product that I did purchase, and I know that you purchased as well, is actually I think I've purchased three or four of the Apple AirPods back in the day. I ran my entire house, all of my devices, I think from an airport, was it an Extreme? Is that what it was called? That's the one that stood up. At first it looked like a big version of like an Apple TV. It was kind of flat, I think, right? And then it
Well, the
got to
first
be
one was like a
tall.
UFO, if I remember correctly, and then they went to
Yeah,
the square one, yeah.
exactly. Well, so I very much enjoyed this little story here. For this is Joe Rosensteel on Six Colors. It's time for a new airport. I doubt that Apple's going to do that, but hey, I'm like, go for it. I'm glad he wrote the article, just like you said you were glad as well, Jeff.
Joe says it's not too late. I would love to believe that he's right. I don't know it. I mean, look. Networking sucks. It's the one, as much as I am a gearhead and I love technology, I have always
Right?
despised networking because it's finicky and something doesn't work and it takes forever to troubleshoot. And you do something
And
10
everybody's
times in a
mad.
row and it doesn't
Right.
work. And then the 11th time it suddenly does and there's no explanation for why it worked on
Right.
time 11. So anyway, it was so nice when Apple, when Wi-Fi was in its infancy. When was this? This was in the late 90s, early 2000s. When
Yeah.
Wi-Fi first came out, when Apple came out with the original iBooks that had Wi-Fi in it. Apple
Right.
sold an AirPort because we n none of us had a way to have wireless in the home. Wi-Fi was just such a new thing. And so for many years, they had these AirPort devices that would just solve all of your wireless needs. But then around the time when it was probably what the 2010s, whatever, when just when mesh technology came around, the people at Apple decided, you know what? We're gonna, oh, there you go. There's a picture of the original ones.
The
Apple decided,
UFO.
People, the original Eero company came out with mesh networking, and it was such a big deal. And Apple decided, you know what? We're going to get out of the router business. We're going to let other people take over. And I under look, I'm agreeable that you definitely want to focus on the products that matter. You want to focus on the ones that you can really make a difference on. You can't do everything. You have limited resources. I get that. But for my money, I think that networking is so close to the products that Apple sells. Much like AirPods are so, something to listen to things is so close to it that I really wish Apple had stayed in this market. Way back when, they had an opportunity to buy Eero. Google bought Eero instead. And I don't really have a problem with what's happened with Eero under Google stewardship. I continue to purchase, I mean, I purchase Eero products and I don't have an issue with them. They are sort of the Apple of networking in that they're simplistic. Not simplistic in terms of they can't do much, but like you don't have to know anything. They're almost like plug and play. And yet they can create these great networks. But if Apple had this technology, Brett, I mean, imagine they've got HomeKit, they've got HomePods. I could totally see Apple integrating routers with speakers and networking and home automation. And I just feel like if they had stayed in this business, if there was an alternative universe where Apple stayed in the business, I think we would be in a better place. I really do. But and that's what Joe. And so Joe also says he doesn't think it's too late. He says, "Hey, guys, y'all can get back in this business." And I don't
I
know.
don't
I mean,
know.
once Apple's left the market, are they going to come back? But then again, Apple left. When Steve Jobs came to Apple in the 1990s, what did he do? He said, "Goodbye, Newton." They got out of the PDA market, and then 10 years later, they came out with the iPhone. So maybe we'll see.
I was just thinking when you were saying like if Apple had stayed in the market, like we could have had, an alternate history. We could have been For All Airport on there. I love that. For All Mega. So
There you
yeah, I
go.
was just looking this up on Wikipedia. I love go th this is such a track back in history. This is even going, I forgot they had done PCMCIA cards. You remember those cards, those network cards, Jeff? And then they had the Airport Express. And then the things that I was thinking about, here they are. This was the time capsule. So this was, it was like, I remember I loved this. I had, this is the tower that I had. And it
I
was
had
so
it
great,
too.
just like you're saying. It was plug and play. It was a hard drive built in, but it was also a router. And it was the bee's knees. I love that thing. And it powered my entire network for years and years. So yeah, I don't know. I know we've talked about it. It's almost like an ode to the airport there, but it's such a great name too. It's like, how can you just let that go on there? But yeah, I don't know. I thanks Joe for the walk down memory lane a little bit, but I think it's a far cry. Well, okay, Apple now, like you said, is paying attention to their current products, Jeff, including making sure that there are software updates for the Apple AirTags. This just came out this week, right? We don't even exactly know what this AirTag firmware update is going to include. It's a little bit of a mystery there, but you shouldn't have to worry about it, right? If everything goes right, all of your Apple AirTags should just magically and automatically update, because there really is no other way to do it necessarily.
It's almost funny that these things even get updates. I mean, AirTags are barely more than the size of a quarter. They are so tiny and they are just so simple in what they do. And yet, Apple updates them, every once in a while. I think the last update was in October, and there's a and so now this week another update is being pushed out. Like you say, there's nothing you can do. I mean, we mentioned this just as a public service announcement. Eventually, if you own an AirTag, it's going to be updated. We don't know exactly what the new firmware does because Apple doesn't tell us. I'm sure there's some security updates, maybe some performance updates. Who knows? But I mean, it's nice that Apple has the ability to just complete to update them. But it's not like we're getting any new features or anything like that. But so anyway, just offer it as a PSA.
And this just out, literally hours old, iOS 17.4.1. This just came out. In fact, I think I just saw it pop up on my phone. I haven't even had a chance to update it myself. I'm not even really sure what this is going to include in there. We just had 17.4, but now we have 17.4.1 available.
Yeah, 17.4 was just 2 weeks ago, and now we have 17.4.1. Apple says that it fixes some bugs and provides some security updates. So, I mean, I guess
Wow,
that's all that
thanks
they
for
need
the
to tell
info.
us. No new features, don't expect any new apps or anything like
Nothing to
that.
see here.
But hey, if you were having some crashes or something like that in 17.4, go ahead and update. Maybe it'll be fixed now. But in all seriousness, we know that Apple is updating security things all the time. We're always hearing about security breaches in the wild. What often
Sure.
happens for these updates, Brett, as you know, Apple will release the update, and then in the next day or two, they will update their online security document, often giving credit to
Correct,
the
right.
people that send in the
Yeah.
security tips. And sometimes when you look at those things, you're like, wow, those sound like they're pretty bad. I'm really glad that Apple fixed it. So I haven't seen that document yet. I don't even think that Apple's published it yet, but I'm sure they will. And I presume it's gonna, make us happy that we updated. So
I even tried following this link here. They always have a link for more information, visit this link. And you go to that link, and it just says, we like to protect our customers, so we don't want to reveal anything that we're updating on there. Sometimes it can sound a little like shrouded in mystery. Maybe that's what the DOJ is upset about. Who knows? But anytime that I see even kind of a small, minor update like this, again, once it's a little bit minor like this, I don't have any issues with telling people, yeah, go ahead and update it if you see it pop up on your screen. That's important too. Another product, maybe I haven't heard you talk about it in a while, Jeff, maybe because it's overshadowed by the Vision Pro, but I know you still use your HomePod minis a whole lot. I love this little story that you linked to today from Mac Stories by it's she's he or she is a newer reporter, Nylane, I believe. I
Yeah, from
apologize
Paris. I'm not
for,
exactly sure the right way to
yeah.
pronounce it. But it's a nice little article about, and in fact, the product name is called the, let's see, it's the Plus
I know it's a really
ACC
weird,
for
yeah.
HomePod. It's a weird name, but there's a link to where you can get it on
I
Amazon.
like Nylane's name better, Roam Pod. She said, or he or she says Roam Pod on there. That's much better. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, Roam Pod is a better name, I agree. But it's a thing that sits underneath the HomePod Mini, and so that you can wrap up your cord in there and then
That's
plug
so
it in.
great.
And what makes this device nice is that you can have this device sitting there on your shelf, plugged into the wall, and then you can take the device, which has the HomePod Mini sitting on top of it, pick it up, and then you can go walk outside or wherever else you want to go. And I'll tell you, I still do
Oh,
this whenever we have
nice.
parties. We had a party at our house about 6 weeks ago. One of my cousins got married, and we had a party the night before the wedding party. And so we had like the HomePod Mini in my living room and the HomePod Mini in our front room. And I borrowed my daughter's HomePod Mini and we put it in the backyard and I connected it to a battery, which was a little unwieldy because you could see the cord flapping around. It wasn't nice and tucked
Right.
together like the device that's shown up here in Mac Stories is. But it was the same idea, plugging a portable battery into a HomePod Mini so you can make it portable, take it outside, put it wherever. I really like this idea. And so if I didn't already have a solution that worked good enough for me, what is this?
Interesting.
$40 on Amazon, I would consider
Yeah.
this, especially if I did it more often because it's nice. And it's nice to I really love that effect, Brett, when you and people have this with Sonos's all the time too, that
Yeah.
you can go from room to room to outside to
Yes.
inside and it's
Yes.
seamless music.
Right.
It's really cool. And it's nice that you can do this so simply with the HomePod minis.
I always hate it when you link to things like this because it's like products that I never knew that I needed, and I really don't need it, but now I want it. I mean, this just looks really cool. I don't even have an HomePod mini, but I know I'm going to one day, and this would be something that I would want to have. And we're joking about the name because the reporter even says in here, like, you're welcome, Apple. Why didn't you come up with something like this? And here's a name. You can call it the Roam Pod,
The
and
Roam
you are
Pod.
welcome. That's
Yeah,
even
in fact, it
great.
wouldn't surprise me if Apple did come up with this exact product because it does seem like it would make sense. In fact, let me just say one thing so that people don't think that it's all just dancing in the springtime and lovely. I said before that I hate networking. That continues to be true when it comes to HomePod minis. That experience that I described to you of that party we had
I
6 weeks
know
ago,
you've
Brett,
had some issues,
it
yeah.
worked, but it did not work the first time. I can't explain why. I had to re dis disconnect them, reconnect them. Eventually, I got it all working. Sometimes it goes for hours and hours and they all work together. Sometimes one of them stops randomly. It's that whole networking thing, voodoo, that I don't completely understand. But when it
Right.
works, It's magic. And fortunately for me, it works about 90% of the time. I wish it was closer to 99% of the time, but so be
And I know you wouldn't be able to enjoy the party unless that was working there. You probably were sitting in the
it.
corner, making sure that that was going. Oh, that's good. All right. Well, now we've come to the video portion of our podcast. A couple of great videos, but oh my goodness, are they ever so good? This first one here is from Brian Tong, who I followed, I think, for quite a while on YouTube. I think he's got a blog. His name doesn't come up quite as much as maybe some like Marques Brownlee and some of the others that we've talked about, but you have linked to some things from Brian Tong before, and oh my goodness, this could be a masterpiece. I've only been able to watch little bits and pieces of this 40-minute video, just like you were talking about in here, but I almost don't even care that he's talking to like Jaws and so many other Apple executives. I just love the beautiful golf cart that they're riding in as they go around the circle at Apple campus. It's so cool. Thanks for linking to this video this week, Jeff.
It is great and such a creative idea that he came up with. I love that Apple agreed to do it. He got a golf cart, one of the Apple golf carts that they have on their campus, and he sets up a bunch of iPhones to serve as video cameras. So there's one look, it's almost like carpool karaoke. It's got like one
I
looking directly at
know.
both of them, one on the left, one on the right. And so then they just drive around. I mean, they don't drive, somebody else is the driver. They're in the back seat and they go around Apple's campus. You know, we often see the inside of the circle at Apple's campus, which has, you know, the beautiful
Right.
Orchard Grove and all this stuff. But here they went outside. So they went sort of around the circle and they went off to where the Steve Jobs Theater
So
is and they went to one of
cool.
the other places. But so at the same time that you're listening to these interesting conversations that he's having with Apple employees, you're
Yeah.
seeing the beautiful Apple campus on a beautiful day where the sky could not be more blue. And, you know, there are Apple employees that are sort of walking by that
They're
turn
just
to look
walking
with
around.
amazement of, you know, what is this?
They're eating lunch.
Exactly. What am I seeing? Oh, so many tables that are sitting outside. Exactly. Like, I
I
wanted to go
know.
there and hang out at one of the picnic tables and have a sandwich or something like that. But
One
it's
day we
so
will, Jeff.
one day. So it's great to look at the Apple campus if you just want to look at the background. And if you want to look at the foreground and pay attention to the questions, he has some fun questions. Some of them are a little softball-y, but that's okay. So
Yeah.
with I think he talks to maybe four or five different folks from Apple about, you know, the photography on the iPhone and about artificial
Yes.
intelligence. And when he talks to Jaws, he talks about everything. But it's a nice conversation. It's fun. I thoroughly enjoyed watching the video. I mean, as I joked in my post, I did not expect to sit there and watch it for 40
I
minutes.
know.
I'm gonna watch it for a minute, and the next thing I
Right.
know, I have been sitting there for 40 minutes. I'm
Yeah.
like, oh my goodness, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
It's just so many. I just so appreciate when Apple, I guess, allows or like lets the leash go a little bit. I mean, the only pieces and parts in here that I watched with Jaws is they were talking about that really scary event. That's what they call it, right? The really scary, like they were introducing, that was the MacBook, one of the new MacBook Pros or the M2 chip, or I can't remember exactly, but it was that like Halloween version
It
of
was on
thing.
Halloween, right?
And
Yeah, the day
yeah.
before.
But they were talking about the fact that Jaws was like, you know, they were talking about the photo capabilities of the iPhone, just like you're saying, Jeff. And Jaws was like, you know, we shot that entire thing on an iPhone. And Brian's like, I know, I was in a room with like 30 other people, and all of us like audibly gasped when you revealed that you had shot this whole thing on an iPhone. And then they were looking up, like you said here, I've just got one little still picture on the screen right now. There has to be like five or six camera iPhone cameras, and Jaws is looking up in this golf cart that they're riding around in, saying, "Look at this! You're even using this right now." Anyway, just really cool, and it also tells me I'm sure folks like Jaws are like prepped by the people that they have, but it just seemed like he really understood what Brian Tong was doing. You know, they have an appreciation at some level of all the professionals that cover their stuff, and I just really truly enjoy seeing that. People like Jaws don't have to pay that much attention to kind of things like this, and I just always appreciate when they do, which is good.
We should mention, by the way, Brett, that Jaws is Greg Joswiak,
Yeah,
who is an
sorry,
Apple
yeah.
executive who came over to Apple in the 90s, I believe, with Steve
Yes,
Jobs, and
yes.
has been at the company for such an incredibly long time. And he's one of the top executives at the company.
Yeah,
So.
thank you for doing that. It's Jozi. We call him Jaws. Well, I say we. I've never met the man, but his real name is Joswiak, just like you said. But I always also, not only is it a shortened version of his name, but we also think of Woz, right? Which was one of the original founders of Apple. And so, it's just kind of cool that they kind of have that history there. And then one last video here, which is the newest one, or maybe not the newest one, from Apple. You're in a roll, Jeff. It's like what, 3 or 4 weeks in a row, it's like different Apple commercials. One was the car. One was I can't remember exactly. It was 2 or 3 weeks ago. But this one, oh, it was one the one where the power plug on the wall was singing.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I
yeah.
remember that one too. This one though is probably my favorite so far. We don't like to give anything away. It's called "Don't Let Me Go," and it's about getting rid of old photos. That's all I'll say, right? But
Yeah,
it's like it's
we'll leave it at
worthwhile.
that.
Well, it's worthwhile spending the 30 seconds to go
Exactly.
and
If, even if you
watch.
don't
Did I
spend
give
40
too much
minutes on
away?
Brian,
I mean,
no,
yeah.
no. Even if you don't spend 40 minutes on Brian Tong, spend 30 minutes on this one. It's fun. 30,
Absolutely,
30 seconds on this
absolutely.
one.
Don't let me go. See, I'm just saying, I went and looked up that song, by the way, because we talked about this. That Apple is always good about putting the original song resource in the link down here. So I'm like jamming away on that song as well. Good stuff there. In the know,
In the
I got a really
know.
quick one today, just because I've seen it before. A couple of people have asked me about this, Jeff. It's been around for a while. In fact, this story that I'm linking to here is from 2022. And I forget exactly what iOS version. Let's see, maybe even iOS 15. Anyway, the point that I'm getting to here is when you turn your phone off, your iPhone, or in some cases, even when you hold it down, like I'd like to do a hard reboot every once in a while, right? If the apps aren't responding the way that I think they should, you know, you do this little button dance. You do volume up, volume down, and then you hold the side button, and you keep holding it till the Apple logo comes back on the screen. Anyway, regardless of whether you turn your phone off or you do a reboot, there will be a message that has been on there for a couple of years now that it'll say iPhone findable after power off. Now, I kind of knew that that was coming, so it didn't really bother me all that much. But a couple of people have asked me, what in the world does that mean? Is it not,
I
is
actually
it
don't
really
remember
not
ever
shutting down?
seeing. Yeah, I don't remember ever
Yeah.
seeing that message before. Huh.
You
Interesting.
again, you have to like if you just want to turn your phone off, if you know, here, let's try it right now and see. If you click and hold the side of the on off button, right, and you keep holding that, of course the Siri might come on. So maybe here, let me see if it's the other side on here. Or maybe it's, do you have to hold the two buttons down? Yes. Okay, so if you hold like volume down and the side
Oh,
button
I
off,
see
and
that
it has that
iPhone.
slide to power off, there you
I've
go.
never noticed that. It's yeah, I've never
Yep.
seen that.
Well, you can actually, now that you've got it on the screen, Jeff, you can actually tap on that once you see that little message. And it has a little arrow on there, and it says, it'll explain exactly what this is. iPhone
Look at
remains
that.
findable after power off. Exactly, that's the message right there. So Find My helps you locate this iPhone, whether it's lost or stolen, even in power reserve mode or after power off. So in other words, it's just really more of an informational thing. You can just, you don't even have to tap that, but once that message that you just showed on the screen, you can say okay, or you can tap temporarily turn off finding. Not really sure why you would want to do that, but you have the option. If you're just turning it off and you don't want it to be available in the Find My listing, you can do that there. And you can actually, this article that I'm linking to, you can go and permanently or disable the findable after power off. You have to go into the settings. It has to be turned on and go into the settings and do that. But of course, if there's any particular reason that you feel like you don't want to have that available, you can go and turn that off. But for the vast majority of people, I would just say leave it on. But that's what it means when you see that little message, iPhone findable after power off. It just does take and keep a little reserve power from a Bluetooth perspective, just to make sure that it could be findable. If there's other folks, it's similar to the technology that's used for AirTags, for example, today. So that's what that means. That's my tip for today.
Yeah, I had not seen the message, but I was familiar with the concept. And in fact, one of the things I know is that if you're using an iPhone and you let it go all the way down to 0%, and it gets to the point where it
Right.
says, 10% warning, 5% warning, we're out of power, I'm turning off. What I know is that even after it turns off, it's not completely dead. It's still, like you said, it reserves just a tiny bit of battery power, and that is so for a period of time that I'm not sure if it's like a day or hours or a week, but for some period of time, your iPhone will use, just the tiniest trickle of battery power and the
Right,
tiniest
right.
amount of its radio antennas to sort of let others know the location, so that
Right.
if you've lost your iPhone or you're trying to find it, even though somebody's turned it off or you turned it off yourself, you can still
Right, right.
you or somebody else could find it. So that's interesting. Yeah. And thank you for that message. I had never noticed it before, and it's nice to know that it's there, and you can get some more information on how all this works. Very cool.
Absolutely.
My tip has to do with the Apple TV. So when I'm watching shows on the Apple TV, maybe it's because I'm getting older, I don't know, but some shows I watch normally, but some shows I watch with captions. Now, obviously, maybe not obviously,
Yes.
but of course I'm going to watch captions if it's in a foreign language. But even if I'm watching something like the Slow Horses show, which was on Apple TV Plus, which
Yes,
was
we
shot
did the
in London,
same.
sometimes
Right.
just because of the British accent, I might not follow all the dialogue, and so I will turn
Right.
on captions. And then even my son and I have been watching Masters of the Air on Apple TV Plus, which is the World
Oh,
War
yeah.
II. Oh, it's so great. And of course, I have no trouble with those accents, but sometimes they're referring to like a city in Europe or words, or I just like having the captions on. I know some people find them distracting, but I actually don't
Yeah.
mind them. And so I will turn the captions on for some shows. So the tip is, and this tip came from John Gruber at Daring Fireball a few days ago.
Okay.
I was not familiar with it. He explains that how on the Apple TV remote, at the button that's at the very top left, which on old Apple remotes is called menu, and on the newest Apple remotes has got just
Oh,
like a
yeah.
greater or a less than sign. But that button
Yes.
right there, you can use accessibility settings on it. I did not know this. On your Apple TV, you go into the settings app, and then you go to accessibility, and then you go to accessibility shortcut, and you'll see like 15 different options. And one of the options that you can set is you can
Okay.
say, when I use the accessibility shortcut, which you use by triple clicking that button, what's going to happen? And so for me, I put on closed captions. And so now, how if you want to turn closed captioning on or off, you have to like fiddle around
You
with the
gotta
screen
go in
and
the home
find the
menu,
button.
right?
You can also use Siri to talk to your remote and say, turn on, but that doesn't always work. But what's really nice is you don't have to interrupt the show at all. I can just triple click on the button and the captions will turn on. And then I triple click on the button again and the captions turn off. And I've been using this for just a couple of days since I saw this post by John Gruber. And it's been so cool. It's been so nice. And
I
so
gotta
now
try
it does not
this.
work on everything because some
I
apps,
see
like for
that.
example, Netflix, they have their
Yeah.
own proprietary way of
Boo.
dealing with captionings. And so as a
Right.
result, the shortcut doesn't work. But it does work on Apple TV Plus. I think it works on the HBO Max app. It works more places than it doesn't work. Let's just put it that way.
Okay,
And it's
good.
so
I like
nice. I
that.
mean, if you're not already using the accessibility shortcut for something else, then absolutely turn this feature on because you never know when you'll just be sitting there with the remote in your hand and you want to just turn on captions. Dot dot dot. Captions are on. And then if you don't need them anymore, dot dot
Oh,
dot.
man.
Captions are off. By the way,
That's so
another sort
great.
of additional tip, but this is nothing new that you should know, is that you what I sometimes if I have captions turned off and somebody says a line of dialogue that you just didn't understand, you can pick up your remote and you can turn Siri on and you can say, what did he say or what did she say? They both do the same thing. And what will happen is Apple will rewind about 10 seconds and
That's
turn on
right.
captions so you can just
Yeah.
see the last 10 seconds with captions. And then once you get back to where you were, it'll turn the captions back off. So I use that if there was just one specific line that I did not get because the sound was too loud or because it was an accent or something like that. So that's also a good tip. But
Oh,
this
this is so good,
quickly
though.
toggling on and off, oh, I tell you what, you got to do it, Brett. It's
Oh, I'm
made my
sending it to the
Apple
family right
TV
now.
so
Yeah.
it's made my Apple TV watching experience so much
Well,
better. I wish I'd known about this years ago. Goodness.
the thing is, Jeff, here's I remember I'm of the generation, and I think you're with me, my friend, that whenever I saw closed captions or words on the screen, it was only because it was a foreign language, and it was there because it had to be in the way, and I had to like it was a bother because I had to read it and listen to them. But I got to tell you, my kids, and I'm pretty confident your kids are in that same generation. They don't want to watch anything unless it has the captions turned on.
Yeah.
My daughter comes home from college and we're sitting there trying to watch some stuff, and she keeps asking, "Can you turn the captions on, please? Can you please turn it on?" I'm like, "Why? Why would you do that? Like, that just gets in the way." But I am gonna admit, Jeff, I'm coming around to it. Like, it's the same thing. It's either a show or just because I want to make sure that I'm following along a little bit closer. I can't believe I'm kind of turning around into this area. But this is so helpful. Thank you, sir. I'm going to send this to the entire family right now just because we're always going to be watching something on Apple TV anyway. sometimes in Netflix, but most of the time on Apple TV Plus and some other places. So, oh, what a great, and I think even I saw at the bottom here, even John says, you know, come on, there's no excuse not to support the triple click accessibility shortcut. All of the shows and services should get on board on this. But that's so great. Thank you so much, Jeff, for sharing that. That's really going to be helpful. I'm
Very
gonna have
cool.
to try to get that going tonight. It's like, hey, I'll make the family happy, indeed. Whew, okay, well, we will talk next week. I'm just very curious to see kind of what some of this fallout's going to be with the DOJ versus Apple. We'll see a little bit more maybe on some of the AI stuff. Really, just some interesting stuff, and it doesn't even have to do with a brand new Apple product, Jeff. That could be scary. That could be a good thing, and it could be a bad thing. Anyway, regardless, we'll talk with you next week. Thanks again.
Thanks, Brett. Bye-bye, everybody.